You know, we serve an incredible Father. And He's never, never going to be outdone. I guarantee you that. He's never going to be outdone. He's so capable. And we sometimes don't understand what He's up to, but eventually we'll catch on. Now, I want to take you on a small journey with His Word, but we need to pray first. Father, we come before You this morning, and I'm asking for Your anointing, because without Your anointing, this is just going to be words. So, let Your Holy Spirit carry these words so that they will impact every heart that's here for the glory of our God. So that they will be changed, and those who listen to this message will also be changed by the power of this word, this living word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take you to James chapter 2, and I want to kind of preface this word with what was happening in Jerusalem roughly 2,010 years ago. Or whatever the numbers are. Because we're commemorating today the Feast of Pentecost. Acts chapter 1 and 2 give us instructions as to what happened on that day. And even when Peter was speaking, he said very clearly that what had been prophesied by Joel hundreds and hundreds of years before was now a reality. I was speaking with Kip this week, and I was reminding him that the scripture says in the King James Version and in the Amplified, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now the word fully is not in the NIV. Because I guess they just forgot that word in the NIV. But it is in the King James, and it's in the Amplified. Fully means complete. It had a reality. Now, you remember the feasts of Israel were positioned in the course of the year, to be repeated year after year after year, over and over, until they got the message. How many times do I have to get reminded of something before I actually can carry it out, or believe it, or even receive it in my heart? Sometimes it takes a long time before it's given to you. Even in the springtime, and the kids come home from school and they close the door, because all winter long mom has been saying, close the door, it's cold outside. And now it's hot, and they close the door out of habit. You know how long it takes to change a habit? 6 weeks. So all of a sudden it's hot, and they keep closing the door. So now mom is repeating, well, would you please leave the door open so we can get some air in here? Of course, she has to reverse the ritual in September and October. Close the door, it's cold, you want us to heat the neighborhood? Yes or no?
Yes.
Well, with God, it's no different. We have a habit of judging and condemning and finding fault. Because we are so right. And if everybody was like me, we talked about that last Tuesday, everything would be fine. But since they've got their own stubborn attitude, what do I have to do? I have to repeat over and over until I get the new message. What I'm about to give you is something that had to be shouted at me by the Holy Ghost over and over and over and over. And it's this. James 2. The closing part of verse 13. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs, meaning it is victorious over judgment. Now, in that season of my life, there was a crash going on emotionally, and I was angry. I wanted something to change. How many of you ever sat in that seat? Thank you. I wanted something to change, and it wasn't changing. I was angry inside, and I was bitter, and I was getting fed up because it wasn't happening fast enough. Well, I guess I got a few friends. If I've got a few friends, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, this word was not something I was accustomed to. I didn't want to give out mercy because I figured they didn't deserve it. Though stubborn, and I had a few expletives deleted. Though stubborn, and you can fill in the blanks. They are blankety blank blank. And they don't deserve any mercy. And the Lord said, what about you? What did I give you when you didn't know me? And I swallowed very hard. I had a major issue with it. And he reminded me that if it wouldn't have been for his mercy, giving up his son to die on that cross, I would not be born again. I would have no knowledge of his love. I'd still be dying and living with the dead. Close your eyes. Just repeat after me very slowly. Mercy,
mercy.
Triumphs over judgment.
Triumphs over judgment.
One more time. Mercy,
mercy.
Is victorious,
is victorious.
Over judgment.
Over judgment.
One more time. Nice and slow. Mercy,
mercy.
Never fails.
Over judgment.
It's up to me. I'm going to back up to verse 8. If you really keep the royal law found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, then mercy won't be a problem. Oh, I should have heard an amen by that time. Right or wrong? If I really keep the royal law found in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, mercy is not a problem. Then he adds, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law of as a lawbreaker. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Say ouch. There goes your judgment. Does that include judging yourself? Oh, well, I'll think about it for about a month. Does it include judging yourself?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you going to judge yourself with the law of love?
Hopefully.
Are you going to to judge yourself according to the Ten Commandments. Then you're in tradition. Because Jesus gave you a royal law. The royal law is love, unconditionally. And in that law, you will have no problems with the other nine. You'll never steal from your neighbor if you love him. You'll never take out his wife and go to bed with her if you love. You'll never lie to your neighbor if you love. You might withhold information if you love. You might even withhold your opinion if you love. So much for pride. After all, if I was right the last time, I'm right this time. Now, those words have never come into your heart, but they visited with me a few. And if you believe that one, I'll give you another lie. Whoever, that, am I a whoever? Yes, I am. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. You know, if you try to put yourself under the law, and you continue to push yourself, you're going to reap what?
Strife.
Huh?
Strife.
Strife. You're absolutely right. It's going to be very difficult. I'm going to show you an example in a moment, but I want to finish this verse. Verse 11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. That gives freedom is part of that verse. And that is the law of love. And you better love yourself in spite of your weaknesses. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if you've not been merciful, don't think you're going to be able to receive any. Because you're the one that's in the control room. And it starts with pouring mercy into yourselves. This week we looked at the scriptures that said that our God loves his creation, even with sin in them. And we proved it from the Word for Pentecost. Because the Word is clear. Sin is in the flesh, and yet God says, I still love you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. I want you to go to Romans chapter 9, verse 30. And I'm going to ask God to show you how this works. Because you can see it by the example that was given to us by the Israelites. You see, the Jews thought they had it all put together because they were so holy and they had done the work. Verse 30 says, what then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, had not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written. See, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble, a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. See, the Israelites had the law. It was a gift from them, for them. By the way, it was given at Pentecost. On the mountain. Moses received it at Pentecost. Now, it's pretty neat that they were given the law, they used it, and ended up dying. Because that's what it said. Because they forgot to believe. They forgot to believe. They forgot to receive anything by faith. They were works in progress under their own steam. And they didn't give themselves much mercy. They were righteous by the works they did. They were holy in their own eyes. And I'll be honest with you, the majority of the church is sitting in the same boat. They're doing a work for God, thinking that God is going to be happy. And they're doing it not from revelation knowledge. But many of them are doing it because it feels good. And when they're doing it because it feels good, the accomplishment is that they feel righteous. After all, if you went to my school, you'd be holy like me. That's what the Pharisees said. And so did the Sadducees. Jesus was kept out of those schools. Why? Why was Jesus put in the carpentry shop? He was to relate to the average people, not the hierarchy. Close your eyes for a moment. If you're trying to fit in with the hierarchy, you've got a problem. Give them mercy without ceasing. But don't try to copy them. God has a plan just right for you. He has a plan of salvation to bring you higher than you've ever been, and it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your talents. What matters is your ability to receive instructions and carry them out. A good carpenter will tell his assistants, look, I need 3 nails in that corner. And the assistant will put in 3 nails and the house will stay good. It'll stay well. It'll last for many, many centuries. But if the helper only puts in 1 nail and then the wind comes, what happens? It's going to fall down. You don't need a lot of wisdom to hear, go get a knife and cut the bread. Yet God would use that cutting noise to confirm to someone something he had spoken. For the purpose of convincing another, you just obey. And give mercy where mercy is not deserved. Got it? By doing so, you'll be copying your Father, who gave me and you mercy by giving us a son, then giving us a path to sonship like him. We have many believers today that can't wait to be raptured out of here. I've got news for you. You're going to inherit the earth. How are you going to deal with that by being booked out? How are you going to deal with it? It's not making any sense. He sent us here to set the captives free, not to run away. to give out mercy, not judgment. Those who are making mistakes in the government need what? Mercy. Our president needs mercy. Our counselors need mercy. Our teachers need mercy. The governors need mercy. The mayors need mercy. You got an example? Give them what?
Mercy.
And who else needs mercy?
Ourselves.
Me. I need mercy. From who? From me. How am I going to make it to heaven? Not on judgments. I'm going to make it by giving out mercy. Constantly. Well, you don't have to live with my wife, Kim. Oh, really? Well, you don't have to live with mine. Well, Bob, give her mercy. And then give yourself a dose. For thinking that you did it stupidly because it's not going to ever be appreciated anyway. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, after all, that's how I was brought up. Well, get out of that old tradition. It's not from God. It's from justice. I deserve justice. Put your hand up if you agree. Well, I'm giving you a way of coming out of that justice. I'm giving you a way of freedom. Mercy triumphs over
judgment.
Try it again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now we're going to change one word, justice. Mercy triumphs over justice. Look at your neighbor. Say, mercy triumphs over justice.
Woohoo!
Sorry.
Don't you dare be quiet. If I knew any other way, I wouldn't know you.
Well then, yippee skippy!
Hallelujah! Give the Lord a clap offering. Say, as of this day.
As of this day.
I'm going to give.
Me.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Over justice.
Over justice.
And over judgment.
And over judgment.
And God will get the glory.
And God will get the glory.
Hallelujah.